D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z know what's popping in the field.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Yeah, Tomas.
Yeah.
Yeah. P.S. and B-Boys. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Saints. P.S. and B-Boys.
Tomas Turner is a hip-hopster.
I love this book.
I love that.
I love this.
Me too. Hey. Me too.
That don't sound. That sounds more like Middle Eastern. I think.
I kill you.
Okay. Did you ever see that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even remember the name. So, hey, so
Ahmed,
Ahmed the terrorist. That's right. That's I kill you. Silence. Silence.
Silence, infidel.
I kill you. All right. So check this out. You know I'm in a bar a lot.
Are you?
Yep. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, music's loud. Man, I like to have fresh breath. So I like to have fresh breath. So I see these commercials because I stay up late at night watching too much TV, and they're doing these commercials for, and I can't even remember the name of the product, and it's like it's formulated special in the lab to give you fresh breath, you know, and it's two different things activated.
Oh,
fresh
yeah.
mouth,
yeah,
fresh mouth,
yeah, yeah.
So it says fresh breath for 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, like, okay, that obviously don't count if you ate. Like, it's the clock starts ticking after you, you know, brush your teeth or whatever. Anyway, so 24 hours, you know, fresh breath. So I'm looking at the label, and it says, you know, take it every 12 hours for fresh breath for 24 hours. I'm like, damn, so ain't it really 48-hour fresh breath as long as you take it every 12 hours? I mean, who does that? Who does that?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I found that.
I think that makes it 12 hours fresh.
Does it include cat urine?
Okay, I'm just saying. How that makes your breath any fresh. But okay, today, talking some Pro Bowl, we got to go over this pick'em because we got people in the hunt. The dogs are hunting.
Yeah.
So there's still three viable candidates. And then we're going to talk about our top 10. We have a new linebacker coach. I just saw the breaking news.
Yeah.
So we got to talk a little bit about that. I also saw something that's interesting. What's the guy's name? Clayton. The
John Clayton.
Yeah, but there was a better name. He was they compared him to the
The guy from
the Crypt Keeper.
No, the guy from
Crypt Keeper.
That's what I was talking about.
God. The cartoon, man.
I don't know.
I can't think of the name of it right now.
So then we have when you let us know when you think about it, because I'm interested in hearing it. And then in our series last week we did the defensive line.
Yeah.
This week,
did we get a call back from Lil Dice?
No, Lil Dice. Again, we might have to scour the countryside or the Louisiana.
Send the sheriff out for him.
Check out the sheriff's department, see if they know where he's at. No call from Lil Dice. You know, it's off season; things are slow. But what I do, I'm interested in a couple of people here leading the Pick'em League that they're going to have to call because I don't see any of them unless they came under a little bit of. A different name that they've ever called the show. They're gonna have to call the show and give us the code words.
The code words.
Code word. Natasha. Anyway,
is that today's?
No. I figured we got enough code words. If they can pop out most of those code words, that means they've been paying attention.
Okay,
you know, and that's kind of the goal to make sure that some random person doesn't jump in, win the league, and we don't even know who they are. But anyway, Heath, how you doing? You missed last week. We missed you, man. We were very sad.
I'm doing good, man.
We managed to make it.
I'm good.
Yeah
I see that.
So I was
worried about you.
I would imagine you got 2 weeks worth of information to share with everybody now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much
nothing.
It. Yeah, nothing. All right. Tomas, I'd ask you how you are, but I could tell by your demeanor you're in a good mood. You're ready to go.
27 pounds down. I'm.
Are you? You don't seem so hangry. You got over the hump.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You got to be careful, man. Them diets mess you up. That's why I don't mess with them.
I got 15 pounds to go.
I don't mess with them. I need to lose.
But I'm pretty happy. You know, the pants are falling off.
Go ahead there, big stud.
Two more notches on the
South
belt.
Park.
South Park. That's what it was. South Park. All right. Okay. The pants are just falling off, man. I tell you what.
You know, it's looking good there. You know, I'm starting to, you know.
If you could tell me what you're doing to get that to happen, then I could start giving that to the ladies.
Hour and 15 minutes at the gym every morning?
That's a little bit protein more effort shake than in I want to put in to get their pants to fall off.
Hour and 15?
I don't know.
Anyway. You just have to be suave in the boner like me.
All right, let's just get this
you
show started.
You just want to get me in trouble, Dave. No, that's all there is to it.
Hey, and the wife, she listens to it.
That's right, she does.
Matter of fact, she's
and you
like,
get me in trouble.
Yeah. All right, let's get this show started.
I always blame you.
Tonight, on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night, here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, so listen, NFL news. John Lynch. You remember him, right? Okay, maybe I'll make sure I got it right. Are we talking about the safety?
Safety for Tampa Bay and for Denver. And
Denver Broncos.
And, and then just a really good commentator on Fox.
Okay, don't make
no,
me choke.
No, you got him confused with somebody else. Obviously. Yeah, no.
So, wait, were you saying somebody's like, oh, man, good, they signed him so we don't have to listen to him on TV?
Yeah, he won't be on TV anymore. That's awesome. Go 49ers.
But obviously something that he did qualified him to run the 49ers program. Obviously the 49ers have – pretty low bar set of who's going to run that dysfunctional organization.
Yeah. I guess his induction into the Ring of Fame in both Tampa and Denver this season qualified him to be general manager.
I mean, seriously, the guy's never worked in aside from playing, has never worked in an organization.
From the field to a commentating job, now to GM of a professional franchise.
Okay, maybe they know something I don't. Maybe I mean, how do you –
Well, right away everybody's going to point to Elway. You know, Elway didn't have any experience in him. He took over general,
You know, that's true.
And he's done a good job, but confuse John Elway and John Lynch. No. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe
I don't know. We'll see.
Like, if he's successful, then you might want to ask yourself, like, maybe we overvalue.
What am I doing wrong in life?
That, too. I question that almost every day, bro. So, like, I don't want to throw in another reason to question why I am where I am in life.
We don't even need to go there.
But then you question, like, is it really that difficult to be an NFL general manager or coach? Or
I don't know why. You know, maybe it's the right thing to do. Maybe these guys will actually bring some common sense that appears to be missing from a lot of front offices,
I mean, I sit here and I'm the type that I defend the coaches. I'm like, look, I think this, but look, they have more information. They know better than me. Then one day they like, hey, you know, Dave, come on in and we're going to let you in on our meetings here. And they're like, hey, look at this guy run fast, George. look right there. Oh, you know, and you're like, oh, man, I had these guys way overvalued, man. They're like, look at him, catch the ball. You know, and you're like, oh, man, I thought they had this all, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then what would that say for Stephon Anthony when he walks in the room? He would just be like, and like drooling down his face. Like,
I don't know. Stephon Anthony might still have life.
That's what I heard.
Huh? Some comments by, who was it? Somebody.
Ireland. Yeah. Now, he picked him. So now Ireland's going to be all, well, no, man. I think he's still got some game. But, you know, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear that. So I'm like, I want to believe it.
Yeah.
I want to believe it. Man, if he wouldn't have, and this is the thing, man, if he wouldn't have got hurt those last few games, that's what Ireland said. I'm paraphrasing, but.
Yeah, because he was tearing it up until
that point. We could really saw it. And now you start doing, oh, man, you know, what if we, you know, he's
if
just.
If he was that great, he'd have been on the field from the get go and we wouldn't be wondering
I question, you know, I don't know, man. If you go to a professional football practice, you do have a hard time seeing, like, whenever I'm in high school. Again, not trying to relate high school, but the difference is, man, we hit every day, dude. We were full tackle every single day. Now, having said
that's because you weren't union.
You didn't have a collective bargaining agreement.
That's true. No collective bargaining agreement. And the other two is we weren't nearly as violent, you know. It was like two guys running through the hole. It's like, and you kind of fall to the side.
Well, you were violent for your age.
Yeah. I mean, from that perspective, you know, and then what's funny is in high school, we played against Derek Ned. And I don't know if you remember, Ned played for the Saints.
Yeah.
And I remember stepping up, doing exactly what the coaches taught me, thinking he's like, okay, this guy, this is a play they run. The tight end's going to block down. The guard's going to come and kick you out. So it's just I was playing outside linebacker. So, man, I kind of stepped around the guard, and here comes Derek Ned. I had my feet all squared up, and I'm like, man, I went to hit him in his knee. Man, I'm boom, and I mean, my head hit him in the knee. My head went straight to the ground. And when I woke up, I thought, well, I'll probably trip him up. And I kind of roll over and look, and that guy, he's still like,
dancing.
He was just shaking guys, you know, stiff arm. It wasn't, at least it wasn't just me. But then when I watched it back, and that's back in the day when people always say, I watched the film. No, that's when there was film.
Yeah.
You know, you watch it on the projector.
8mm. Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't even slow him down, bro. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, I was 140 pounds playing outside linebacker for a small school. So, but he just ran me over, and it was ugly. So, I mean, I didn't even trip him.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff when you get a professional level player playing with a bunch of kids.
Right.
So anyway, all right. So let's get let's talk a little bit about this pick 'em. So the last week, who's this Heath guy? All of a sudden, got two out of two, bro.
Yeah,
that's
like
not
that.
Easy, man. That's not. And then Cable Tonka, Moxilady, and Brooks, and Texas Hoodat, all with two last week. So let's look at the overview, the big picture here. That means there are three people who have a shot at it. Right now in the driver's seat, Red Jim.
Yeah.
135 points. Now, if Red Jim wins, she's got it. She's
That's
locked it up.
Yeah.
And Red Jim, if you win this money, I expect you to go on Saints Report and pimp us out, talking about how you got all this money and,
That's right.
you know, and like,
That's right.
like how the BS and Beer podcast changed your life.
Yeah.
But if you lose, then it opens the door for DTC All-Stars. And Little Dice at 134. So, and while we're at it, these guys, listen, sorry to tell you, but you are no longer in the running for the money. How much we say it was? $25, right? $25
yeah.
grant. What? Oh, man. It's not like they got no proof. I mean, y'all have to put me out
I
like that.
I thought it was a coupon for a burger.
Yeah. Yeah, so listen, we don't want y'all to go home empty-handed, so we do have something for it. It's a lovely parting gift. First, let me read off the people before I tell them their lovely parting gift.
Go ahead.
Orion, Sack for a Loss, Cook's Arrow, Year of the Lion, our buddy there.
Gary.
And Aries 39, or is that? Yeah, it's 39. Picker is Rod. And then in 10th place, there's a tie, but listen. I know this might be stretching our budget, but I'm going to go ahead and include them and allow them to also be part of the lovely parting gifts.
Okay. All right.
Texas Hoodat, Louisianist, and Javelin. Those are all names that all year long we've discussed. So
Dave, tell us the parting gifts.
The lovely parting
tell them
gifts.
What they
Listen,
won.
We're going to give you guys 1 year free access to our podcast, BS and Beer.
There you go.
No registration fees.
No registration
no,
fee.
Nothing. No, That's you right. know, no monthly, annual, or no, any type nothing. Of fees are going to all be waived.
We that won't is, ask for a credit card number at all.
That no is
a
credit hell card of a necessary. Value. The value, normally $49.95.
There you go.
But today, we're slashing it down to zero for you guys.
That's
okay.
Right. And no extra shipping or handling.
No extra shipping and handling. And matter of fact, now I have to check the warehouse. But we have some camouflage.
Camouflage.
Some camouflage in the warehouse. Yeah. I'm gonna check with them, and if they if they say that the camouflage is still available, we could potentially. No guarantees. Yeah. You might get you some camouflage thrown in the package. That 14 gauge wire is good for. I'm getting good at this. Like I'm reading, like it's a you know the 14 gauge wire can get to all those hard to reach places of your goat or donkey teeth.
There you go.
All right. So there's the pick'em league. So. Red Jim, you in the driver's seat, girl. Let's see what you can do with it. One game left. All right, so moving on.
This segment brought to you by BS and Beer Podcast. Twice the entertainment, half the calories.
All right, so who watched the Pro Bowl? Everybody raise your hands if you watched the Pro Bowl. Okay, anyone?
Just me.
Just Tomas. All right, well... I didn't watch it. I think I've watched it 2 years ago, and I just literally, you know, listen, it's hard to fault these guys and play hard, get hurt in a Pro Bowl. But, I mean, it's not even a football game. Having said that, the dodgeball was super fun. And, like, the thing is, I've never played a legit game of dodgeball. So, I didn't even know the rules. So, they're like 10 dudes on each team, on the NFC and the AFC, and there's like, 10 balls, let's say, in the middle. And they're, I don't know, maybe 20 yards, 30 yards away from the ball.
Yeah.
And then they blow the whistle, and they all have to run inside. And like anybody who's probably under 30 is like, yeah, of course, that's how you play it, you know. But I'm like, to me, it was all new. And they run to get a ball, and they run back, and then they start throwing at each other. And, you know, if you throw it at a guy and you hit him, he's out. But if you throw it at a guy and he catches it, then you're out.
Right.
So we were having so much more fun with this when we talked about it earlier. So
well, this was a new discovery for you.
Yeah. So feel free to jump in at any point.
I will just say to you that, you know, this is an example of the National Football League not understanding how detrimental this is to young people. Because dodgeball is no longer acceptable.
And you can put
that's
an
right.
eye out. And
that's right.
That's correct. Because you can hurt someone.
Well, you can hurt feelings.
And you can hurt feelings. That's right. No, I'm serious. Right. You know, dodgeball is no longer. When I was a child, when I was a young person, we had dodgeball in elementary school. We had dodgeball in middle school. You know, and I don't remember playing dodgeball in high school. And we shot guns in high school. But in any case.
Went to hell of a school, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it was. That's where I started. But in any case, today I'm being serious. You know, it's prohibited in all elementary and middle and high school. You can't play dodgeball, you know. But now this was an interesting part of the pre-Pro Bowl experience.
Yeah.
I rather enjoyed it. I thought it was quite exciting.
Yeah, and back in the day they used to have like skills competition. And this is the first time. Maybe I just didn't pay attention to it. But
well, because they changed the format back to the AFC versus the NFC.
Right.
Whereas
so the other
last
gimmick
three
didn't
years,
work.
Right. Yeah, they had, you know, what's the idiot Michael Irvin from Dallas was a
Irvin and what Deion Sanders was it?
I think Deion one year and then they picked somebody else.
And you know, listen, okay, the game is such a, I mean, it's so terrible that they have to try some gimmick. And quite frankly, hey, what's cool? And then take two All Pros and say pick a team, and it's kind of.
Yeah, but it wasn't because then you ended up having a guy from just for example, one guy would pick a Saint, the other guy would pick a Saint. So now you have the Saints on two opposite teams.
Okay.
So you couldn't really cheer for one team because your team members were on both sides. So to me, that didn't really make a lot of sense.
So is that how it went down?
Yeah.
Oh, so in other words, it wasn't like just the one fat kid sitting over there and nobody wants to pick him.
No.
And so no, they do in the way.
You have to pick anybody who was on the Pro Bowl list.
Okay.
So let's say, for example, there were four people. Just an example. Let's say that there were four people from the New England Patriots.
Okay.
Well, one guy picked one guy, another guy picked another guy. So you could have actually two or three. They didn't all be on the same team.
Oh, no, no. I get that point. I get that point. I thought you were saying if they picked one guy from New England, then the other team had to pick a guy from New England.
No, 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 no,
so,
no.
So there was a point when you're sitting over there, and can you imagine the ego? Because, listen, I mean, I've been part of many pickup basketball games where – after they get, you know, you get 10 guys and then they're looking at you and looking at the other guy and they'll be like, hey, you know, just you go. Like, they don't even really pick you. They just say, yeah, okay, y'all go on these, whatever team you're closest to.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's pretty humiliating. Can you imagine how it feels to be an all pro and you sitting there after they pick the whole team and they're looking at you, like, you know, okay, I guess you get that guy. You know, and that guy is like a defensive tackle that had 13 sacks, you know, and he's like, well, you're the loser that nobody wants on their team. Mm-hmm. Like, I can imagine that'd be pretty
what do they call the last guy picked in the draft? Mr.
Irrelevant. Yeah, Mr. Irrelevant. But for the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. So then the skills for the quarterback.
That was pretty interesting.
Like, it's new. Back in the day, y'all remember whenever the little golf court would ride around with a big bullseye and they put blue stuff on the ball.
Chalk on the ball.
And a poof, you know. Now they got, like, wheels that spin. And, and like,
high
for
tech.
The kids that have short attention span, when he hits it, some poof, some smoke comes flying out
to let you know that he got hit.
Kind of like putt-putt golf? Or,
yeah, same kind of concept.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, things are spinning. And, like, you know, some of the guys, like, here's the problem with that. Like, these are Pro Bowl quarterbacks, and they struggled. I'm not saying it was easy.
Hold on. They're not really all Pro Bowl quarterbacks, okay?
Maybe to say they're...
Because it was like, okay, well, this guy should be the Pro Bowl quarterback. Let's go to the next guy. Oh, he's not available. Let's go to the next guy. Okay. When you get down to Cousins from Washington Redskins...
Right.
Dude, there's what is this guy, 17th, 20th on the list? I mean...
Well, I heard when Cousins... got selected, got picked up. He almost couldn't make it, and they were going to go to Carolina's backup. So I don't know if that matters, but they
could
were
going to.
And I don't even know his name. They didn't either. They were just like, Carolina's backup. Okay. So
that's why I'm saying, you know, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, to call them all pros.
And then they had Andy Dalton. Okay, now I understand why Cincinnati is where it is.
Struggled, man.
As I call him, good Andy, bad Andy. Okay, maybe this was just bad Andy who showed up.
Yeah.
I mean, they had the 4-point, it was like a trampoline, at the very far end on each side, right?
Yes.
And so here's Andy, you know. He takes aim. I'm going to go for that one. It's like 10 feet over the top of the trampoline. I'm like, dude, even Green couldn't have caught that pass, okay?
Yeah.
And he throws a second one the same. I'm like, really?
Adjust. You would think you'd adjust.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I mean, it was horrible.
In the military who were shooting mortars like 600 yards, yeah. And they can like, oh, okay, a quarter.
Two clicks down.
Yeah. Boom, and they exactly. Hit it. Well, yeah. and in Saints training camp, for those of you who've ever been to a Saints training camp at the end, they do the thing where they put trash challenge. Cans.
Yeah.
You know, 60 yards down the field, and the quarterback takes his 1-2-3 and then lofts it up there.
Right.
And, I mean, even when they're not going in the trash can, which they do hit the trash can occasionally, amazing.
Yeah.
Now, the trash can's obviously not moving, but neither is this target. But the target is big as a trampoline.
How do you miss it?
I don't know how they miss it.
I don't know how you miss it.
But some of them are missing it by far.
Well, he like I'm telling you, he missed it by the first one. Like you said, I was like, okay, he'll make an adjustment.
Yeah.
The second one sailed just as high. I was like, dude, no wonder Cincinnati is in the toilet. Mm. I mean, is this your best quarterback? Oh, my gosh. You know, and then Rivers from San Diego.
He started slinging it.
He comes out and he goes, well, I'll try to do my best. I haven't thrown a ball in 24 days. Man, he was firing that thing like it was on fire, you know?
Yeah.
And he won. Drew, you know, he did really good, except that at the end he knew that he had to hit a five-pointer. And so he tried. He hit the rim of it. But he didn't quite make it. But let me tell you what, Drew is still the most accurate quarterback because when he lined it up, he's like, I'll hit the two-pointer, pink. I'll hit the three-pointer, pink. I mean.
You know, there was another one. They had the receivers, and this one really surprised me.
Oh, the one from
me.
The
yes.
Drone?
It huh?
The one from a drone?
No.
Oh, okay.
They would just, the quarterbacks would
throw
them balls.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they had to hit the, yeah.
And the receivers would run to a spot, and you know, like you just don't appreciate. You look at a guy, Mike Evans in particular, big, strong receiver, and you realize the difference between great receivers and not because you have Mike Evans, and you go out and you just turn around and catch a ball, okay? Then the next one you have to kind of catch it sideways or over your shoulder. Then you have one you have to catch one-handed. And now keep in mind the quarterbacks, because I get it. Like, I've caught balls or had balls thrown at me from professional quarterbacks, and it's like a brick. And I always thought, oh, I have good hands. And I like to believe I do, but when you're throwing in the yard with guys who've thrown it not very hard, but these quarterbacks they're trying to help their receivers, so they're throwing it relatively, you know, easy. And Odell Beckham Jr. literally just snatching it. And I just said his name, and I can't think of it.
Mike Evans.
Yeah, Mike Evans. He couldn't do it. I mean, like, the four or five balls he would drop before.
And Landry, the kid from
Landry,
Dolphins,
another LSU guy.
Him.
You know, yeah. Great hands. But then the other receivers, they simply, because they'll throw it, and if they don't catch it one hand, then they got to throw him another ball, and they can't move on to the next section until.
Right.
And Mike Evans wouldn't drop. And I'm, like, thinking to myself, like, I have done where we play games, you know, and you do think, like, you may not be able to snatch it, but you put your hand and you kind of like volleyball it, just kind of, you can't catch it, but you just, so
right.
It stops, and then you just catch it with one hand. So there have been many times where I don't have big enough hands to just snatch a ball one-handed out of the air if it comes too hot.
Right.
But what you do is you just kind of absorb it like a catcher or first baseman and let it kind of just hang in there, and then you catch it with one hand. And he couldn't do it. And I was like just amazed. And it's so funny how you look at these plays, you're like, man, how do you stop a guy? He's 6'4", he's this. Well, what you do is he's strong and he's this, but he's not going to consistently catch the ball. And then you see the value of a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. and why he makes those fantastic one-handed catches. The ball effortlessly just stops in his hand. Bunk, done, next. And actually, he had the time to beat. And after Mike
Landry,
Evans, you were like, oh, this is – and then Landry came out and beat him.
Yeah.
You know, so Landry
– two LSU boys.
Two LSU boys doing great in the
now, the
it's
other
amazing,
thing,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing to remember is this, from what I got from it, was how important it is to have – a real relationship between the quarterback and the receiver, because Cousins was the guy who was throwing the ball to him. And several times, had it been, for example, Eli Manning throwing the ball, Eli knows where he likes the ball. Eli knows how, you know, what, because of the relationship they have. Cousins throwing to him for the first time. He's like, well, okay, you know, I'll throw it to you like I throw it to Garcon. But Garcon and
I got to tell you, Cousins was throwing the ball to him, and I remember, and if I'm not mistaken, there were times when I'm like, geez, and crackers, man, make it easier for the guy. Like, he struggled getting the ball to him.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
All right. So I think that's enough Pro Bowl talk. I'm enjoying it and making fun of these guys. I just think it's kind of incredible when you actually see them not in a game.
Well, the only good thing about the Pro Bowl is that the only NFC quarterback who threw a touchdown was Drew.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. But they still lost, what, 2013.
Yeah. Gives him 9 now in 10 appearances, I think.
That's right. I mean, he's like...
money.
Statistics.
It was like he's one short of being in
tied for
second place now or something like that. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he got a couple more shots at it. All right, let's take a quick break.
Do you know what radio program is the longest continuously running commentary show in Kentucky? That would be Advocates for America, hosted by yours truly, Tomas Mauricio. Monday through Friday, 12 to 3, on 1230 WHIR in Danville, Kentucky. Whether it's politics or current events, sports or food, you and I will converse, analyze, evaluate, and maybe even have a good laugh. From Main Street, Danville, to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, no subject is off limits, no topic is taboo. So join me live Monday through Friday from noon to 3, or listen to the show at your convenience via podcast at hometownlive.net, where patriots and advocates are always welcome.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coon ass.
All right, so we got a new linebacker coach.
That's right.
We were talking about a guy who apparently had a lot of
Vic Fangio?
No. Oh. Why you got to go and be silly? What was the guy's name that we thought was coming? And he was was he the head coach for the 49ers?
That was defensive Sula. Line coach.
Yeah. Oh, defensive line coach. Yeah. We missed
Tom
out on him.
Sula.
That's right. Okay, so I'm a little confused.
Tom Sula.
But Mike. I'm like, what are you doing?
He was giving an interview.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, coach, what do you think about this? Well, I think of okay, yeah.
Like, and then like if he's smart, he would have just looked at her and be like, ooh.
Yeah.
Just start subtly pointing at her, like, no, that's her right there, not me.
Yeah. Look the other way and point, you know.
No.
Maybe didn't do that.
Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby, you rotten, baby.
He just leaned forward. That's what he did.
Not.
He did.
I didn't see it. I heard about it.
He gave some room to breathe, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you think if I lean forward, it'll kind of just squeak
honest
out?
Honest to God.
And the lady would just be like, so, coach, you've not been so...
He asked the question.
What?
Let's ask. They asked the question. He had a windbreaker. I never forget.
Well, wait a minute. Is that a euphemism? Like,
yeah, you know.
Okay.
My own words there, you know. And he was interviewing. He was giving the answer, and he leaned forward.
He leaned forward.
That's why I made all the newscasts. I mean, it was all over the place on all the ESPN channels.
Yeah.
That's wrong, man.
You know?
I didn't see any of that. I don't know how I missed it.
Funny as hell.
Yeah. So, Mike Nolan.
Mike Nolan did.
Yeah,
fart.
Mike, you're not very interesting, so we're going to move on to the next.
Well, no, he is interesting.
He didn't fart or anything.
Who's his daddy?
But he,
who's your daddy?
In tribute to his father, mm-hmm. when he was the head coach of the 49ers, he would wear a suit or coat and tie at every game.
Somebody brought that back, right? So maybe to the 49ers organization of wearing
suits.
That
was him.
Yeah, okay.
That was him.
And then
the NFL went batty and was like, no, you can't do that. And I think a couple other coaches did it too, now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I mean, they all do it now. They all force the players. So.
I think at that time, Del Rio was coaching the Jaguars, and I think he did it too at the Jaguars, now I'm thinking about it.
But he put together that ferocious 49ers defense. Now it's all like, okay, was it him? Or was it all the great players they had on defense? Who knows? But I think the guy is well qualified. Maybe not as a head coach, but as a position coach, I think this is a
fantastic hire.
Yeah,
I do too.
For
linebacker.
So
now we just have to draft some linebackers.
Yeah, or we get Stephon Anthony.
Oh,
get him working. Right.
That's the missing piece. Dave.
That's it.
Yep.
Yep. Well, that would require major neurological surgery.
So, yeah,
in order to
apparently there were several people who thought your little comment last week was hilarious. They pointed out your I can't remember what it was, but you said something about, you know, bang him on the head or something again.
Oh.
So anyway, but Mike Nolan, our new linebacker coach,
he would have to suffer a concussion.
Yes, that was it. Yeah. Mike Nolan, the new linebacker coach. I don't know what to say other than I think
good
that
hire.
A great hire.
Heath agrees.
Great hire.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great hire.
At a position that we haven't had a ton of development, and I defended the guys who were there before.
Vit.
you know, it's like, okay, they haven't given him a lot of first-round draft picks or second-round draft picks to work with. Is it him or is it, you know, I mean, and you have to say that you got a guy who has the pedigree, who has the background, who has developed some linebackers in the past,
yep,
developed a great defense in the past.
In spite of his father having a Swiss cheese defense, but go ahead.
I will say to guys who got a shot, you don't get a shot to be a head coach in the NFL if you haven't been successful, if you haven't done great things. And I'm talking about things above and beyond what we see as fans. These guys go into an interview, they have to – so what I'm trying to get at is I think that you bring in even more depth of intelligence and understanding of the game,
right,
than you do bringing in a guy who, like, played a position and he was going to coach.
Now, wasn't he also a coach at Atlanta?
Yeah, yeah. When we got Spagnuolo, I remember a lot of people wanting him, and he went to Atlanta.
We had no choice.
Yeah, well, I mean –
because we couldn't pick him
for Spagnuolo.
Right.
You know, no, we had no choice because Goodell – did not allow Peyton to pick anybody until after everybody else had already picked defensive coordinators.
Okay, I got you.
And that's why we had to pick whatever the hell was left.
Wow. He's been around. He's had several stints as a defensive coordinator. Giants, Redskins, Jets, Ravens, Broncos, Dolphins.
Huh. And his father started off as a defensive back coach, if I remember correctly. Dick Dolan started as a defensive. He was a defensive back.
Well, there you go. Yeah. All right, so all in all, I think a very successful hire at a position of need, you know, to develop. Anyway, it's not like he's going to play linebacker, but I think that I think that's a move in a positive direction. So now, if I'm not mistaken, we still need to fill that defensive
line
and
special teams.
All right. So
and they interviewed a couple of people for special teams.
If you want to be the finest and one of the elite, you too can be part of the BS and Beer podcast.
All right, so just as we get a good hire in Mike Nolan at linebacker, we lose, or it looks to be, reportedly, it looks like we're going to lose Johnny Morton as our wide receiver coach, who, look, by results, you have to say he's done a good job. He took a second-round draft pick and turned him into looks like the next all-world receiver. He took a undrafted free agent in Willie Snead and turned him into what looks to be a very productive receiver.
Right.
And then obviously took a top talent in Cooks and turned him into a top talented receiver. Our receiving core looks to be deep and strong. And unfortunately,
look what he did with Coleman.
Really? Do we want to go there? Do we want to go there?
Well,
there goes the rest of the show. There goes the rest of the show.
He was 3 for 4.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Three out of four.
Ain't bad. Oh, no, all right. Yeah. Think how bad he would be if it wasn't for Johnny Morton.
Exactly.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I guess.
At least he was one a day.
Yeah.
The good news is.
Oh, here we go.
The good news is it looks like Curtis Johnson has left the Bears coaching staff right on time.
Well, everybody's saying he's going to LSU. I mean, just the people on the LSU forum are saying that.
No, I think he's coming back to the
I think that's
Saints.
A good move for him. Well, just because I want him on the Saints. He's another guy. I mean, what he did with the Saints receiving corps.
Yeah, this is
full
this
of
is
Marcus Colston and Moore and, again,
Devery Henderson
and, you know,
Meacham.
I don't know. You know, obviously never – I don't think he ever truly lived up to his potential as a first-round draft pick,
albeit
late. But having said that, what he did with everybody else, you have to give him some credit for that. So
right. As a unit, you know.
Yeah, as a unit, obviously an effective unit. So hopefully – now, you were saying, because we were talking about this during the break, that he left the Bears? What does that mean?
I mean, literally, I just saw this, and I haven't really gotten to read it, but, it appears as though he has left the Bears staff. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know if he was fired or if he was.
Now, do
like
the receiver
really
do position coaches have the, you know, ability to just say, "Hey, man, I'm going to go take a lateral move to another team"? I mean, you know, like just a guy leaves. I guess if a guy goes to the head coach and says, "Coach, I just don't want to be here anymore. I want to go coach another team," chances are they're not going to be like, "Oh, the hell with that. You're staying here." You know, and so, yeah, you don't want a guy. you know, as a coach that doesn't want to be there. Yeah. So,
I mean, literally, it was a tweet from Josh Katzenstein that says, Curtis Johnson leaving the Bears just as Saints wide receiver coaching job opens. Now,
and Curtis Johnson left the Saints to go to be Tulane's coach, right? Coach. So it wasn't like he just left.
Coach. Yes. Say. That's a big difference.
No, absolutely. Right. Hey, man, I'm leaving as a position coach in the NFL to be a head coach in college. And, you know, things didn't work out great for him there. No. So, you know, it's like at the time, you're not going to fire. You know, it's the whole, you're not going to fire the guy on your staff, even if he's not as good, you know, to just bring back your old guy. Now it's an opportunity for him to get back to the Saints. Hopefully.
Could be.
You know, that it might be a little wishful thinking, but yeah. That would I would say that's a lateral move, losing Morton and bringing him back. So
somebody else down here said he was on a one-year contract and chose not to return because he's weighing another option in the NFL.
There you go.
Nice. All right. So I guess that's all good stuff. What? Let's talk a little bit about Clayton's top 15. Is the Crypt Keeper's top 15. So I got to say some hateful stuff about him because the results of this top 15 isn't reflective of what I think the top 15 all-time NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So number one, or should we go? Wait, no, we could go bottom.
Backwards.
Yeah, okay.
Bottom up.
Tarkenton, 14, Starbuck.
Starbuck.
Excuse me, I'm European, and if I want to pronounce that.
You are? Well, go to the bathroom. Don't do it here on the chair. Yeah.
Nuclear is how I say it, all right? So,
aluminium.
13, Jim Kelly. 12, Steve Young, I'd imagine. Bart Starr, Aaron Rodgers, Bradshaw. Number 8, Marino. 7, Favre. 6, Elway. 5, Graham.
Otto Graham.
4, Unitas. 3, Peyton Manning. Number 2, Montana. Number 1, Brady. And I got to say, that is a star-studded list. But the one name missing from that list that most people would probably be like, oh, wait, now? Like when I got to like 6, you were like, oh, now?
Yeah.
Oh, now.
Right.
And it's right. Drew Brees.
Certainly once you got inside the top 10, you had to be thinking his name was coming at any minute.
Listen, I'm not this guy, but I'm going to do it not only because I believe it, but for the sake of the show. Like, I mean, is this just a microcosm of his career of coming in second place in a lot of things? Maybe not even statistically, but second place for MVP.
Well, you know, and it's the same old argument. And what is the criteria? Okay. If it's all statistical categories, by the time Brees is done, he's probably going to own all of them.
Right.
Okay. Touchdowns, yards. Completions, blah blah blah. Percentage.
Yeah.
Or is it winning Super Bowls? Well, if you look at this list, it's not. It's clearly not only winning Super Bowls. Maybe going to Super Bowls. I see Jim Kelly's name on a list.
Right.
Yeah, but Marino's on a list too, and he never went.
Jim Marino. Yeah, it's an
Otto Graham's before they had Super Bowls. Johnny Unitas never went to a
Super
Bowl.
Right. So you know, Tarkenton. Did Tarkenton ever win one?
No.
He lost 4, I think. Huh?
I have no idea.
Four?
I think he
thought it was 2 that he
lost. It just wasn't 4 in a row like Jim Kelly.
No.
Also on the list.
Yeah, because he was with the Giants and he was with the Vikings.
We'll look that up, right, but anyway. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, so here is a situation where, like, okay, so you come in second. Okay. Not that he was actually second best, but always seemed when he had his best seasons that they always gave it to a guy like Peyton Manning, the darling of the NFL.
Yep.
Even though statistically, like, okay, so let's say hypothetically Drew threw for 180 less yards, but then had 6 more touchdowns or whatever, you know, threw for 600 more yards, but had 2 less touchdowns. And of course, if it's close, tie goes to Peyton Manning or tie goes to, you know, Brady. So, and hypothetically, again, because this isn't actual statistics, so he finishes in second place every year because then another year he had a great year, but that's when Aaron Rodgers smashed it. So Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not saying he smashed Brees. I'm just saying he had a great year, but where did the tie go? When you're looking at it, because it's very subjective.
Yeah,
it's not right. Like that's all these statistics are like, yeah. Well, oh, obviously the
this
computer.
Is this fellow's list. Okay.
Yeah, so Drew
you
Brees
have another
comes
person
in
have a different list.
Every year, and where I'm going with this is like, so in this year, Peyton Manning came in first and Drew Brees came in second and Rodgers came in 13th. Then the next year, Rodgers comes in first, Breeze comes in second, and hypothetically, Peyton Manning comes in seventh. And, you know, Breeze is always up there, but when they do the list, it's like, well,
because
you know,
I would say to you that, that Drew Breeze is an underappreciated quarterback. This is why I get so infuriated when I hear about all of these fair weather fans complaining about Breeze's contract and how much money it eats up and so forth and so on. You know, he's underappreciated. If I would think that if you asked a consensus the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL, who they would want to have thrown them the ball, I would have to say to you that I truly believe that of the active players playing quarterback, I think that they would pick Breeze in the top three over and over. You know, because when you're talking about accuracy, you know, like just now we had the Senior Bowl. And they were talking about these kids that were playing quarterback in the Senior Bowl. They talked about the East-West Shrine Game. Yeah, I'm watching all these things now all of a sudden because I have to do the draft stuff, right? So I'm watching all these kids. And time after time, I hear the people that are evaluating these kids say the same thing. Well, he's got a strong arm, but he has a problem with accuracy. He has a problem with accuracy. This kid can throw the ball, but he has a problem with accuracy. Well, you know, he doesn't have a strong enough arm to get it really long. Plus, he has a problem with accuracy. That's all I keep hearing. Well, when you look at statistics, who is the most accurate quarterback in the NFL? Drew Brees.
Etling.
You know?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got
yeah. You know, so, again, it's dependent upon, well, I'll give you another example. Here we have the Super Bowl coming up. And I know we're going to talk about our picks, but you have the Super Bowl coming up. Okay. You have the New England Patriots. You have the Atlanta Falcons. Who's going to watch this game? You know? I mean, I can watch for Tom Brady. I don't like Tom Brady personally, just my thing. But he's a damn good quarterback. Okay? Now, Matty Ice, he's a good quarterback. I'm not saying, but what does Matty Ice suffer with the entire time he's been playing? Accuracy.
Doo-doo pants?
You know, doo-doo pants, yeah. You know? So, to me, you know, and yet, the reason I brought this up is because Matt Ryan was selected over Drew Brees in everything this year as far as a quarterback. Do you really think that he's a better quarterback than Drew Brees?
No, and I don't think anybody would suggest that. I would think that I would have to look at their statistics, and Brees had better statistics than him in certain categories, so they go back to the default. You're close, and you have a better record, so
well, and
you
that's
get the,
we talked about this before.
Nobody thinks
like
he's a better quarterback.
Trophy, for something that's supposed to be an individual award is heavily tied to what to the, your team
yeah,
has done.
Exactly, exactly.
If you could be the best college football player by a million miles, and if your team goes 6-5 or 6-6 in the season, you're not winning the Heisman Trophy.
Or you're playing for Appalachia State
okay,
instead
yeah.
of
so,
Alabama.
You know, and look, that's not to take away from anybody on this list.
It's, that's a great list. It really is.
Great guys on the air. So by talking about Breeze being on the list is not really to diminish anybody.
Okay.
By the way, Tarkenton was 0-3 in
Super Bowl. 0-3, okay. Was it all with Minnesota or was it Vikings
I think that,
and Giants?
Well, he was with Minnesota, went to the Giants for a short time, went back to Minnesota. I think
okay.
all of the Super Bowl losses were with
Minnesota.
Minnesota
okay.
And but you know, anyway, so yeah.
Okay,
where would you put Breeze?
That's where I'm going. I'm okay. going to play a little game with you guys.
Right.
Now, we can do the low-hanging fruit, and I'm not going to do that. So of these 15 guys, you have to take three off of the list
well,
to put
Breeze.
I'm going
to do it like Breeze. I did it earlier. If I'm looking at this, and you know, if Aaron Rodgers is on a list, Drew Breeze certainly deserves to be on a list.
Okay.
Okay, plain and simple. I mean, to me, that's the lowest-hanging fruit. As much as I like Aaron Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers is on a list of all-time greatest quarterbacks, Drew Brees certainly deserves to be on that list. After that, you know, hell, I mean, God, I don't know. Bradshaw. You know, now Bradshaw's a guy that won 4 Super Bowls,
mm-hmm.
okay? And he was a great player. I love Terry Bradshaw when he was playing. Louisiana boy, I mean, I'm a Terry Bradshaw fan. But if you're talking outside of the 4 Super Bowl wins, nobody's going to put Terry Bradshaw
right.
in the category. You know,
so again, you have to ask the criteria.
Passing prowess.
Right.
You know, as
what's your criteria? Okay,
well,
you want
okay,
Super 4 Super
we
Bowls.
Yeah, so.
We're going to put you in there.
Right.
Are you a great passing quarterback? Well, you know.
Right.
Okay, so yeah. one more.
Jim Kelly.
Good quarterback.
I mean, Jim Kelly was a good quarterback. Yeah, they made it to 4 Super Bowls in a row. They lost all 4 of them. You know, again, though, take away the four Super Bowls. Forget about that for a second. I still don't put Jim Kelly in that class of
right. Right. Of, I mean, he was a really good quarterback. You know, yeah. Tomas, three of them got to go.
Hard to look at the list from where I was standing, but I would say I have a problem to begin with because you got Otto Graham on that list. And you're trying to compare football at a completely different era.
When they pointed their front hand.
You know, no, like he actually played with a leather helmet.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. How do you compare okay. that?
So, you know, it's a completely different. So I toss Graham off of there.
Right.
That'd be one guy I toss off of there. Okay. Then, again, looking at this list, I kind of see where Heath is going with Kelly. But then I'd say the same thing for Tarkington. So, you know.
Yeah, but Tarkington still ranks in the top 10 in almost every major.
Passing.
Believe it or not.
Really?
Touchdowns, passes, passing yards.
But then it goes back to what you
He's
said,
still
Heath.
Fourth on the list for rushing for a quarterback.
Okay,
he
but
was
then
the epitome of a rushing quarterback before.
Well, then why don't we have Michael Vick on there?
Well, because
no,
he was a good
just,
passer,
that's
too.
That's one aspect yeah, of it.
Well, that's what I'm
Tarkington
saying. It depends
was a good
on
quarterback
your.
On top
yeah,
of
I think
run.
It goes back to what you said, Heath, that it depends on how you're going to equate statistical information
right.
with who
right.
you're going to choose.
It does.
You know, again, I'll pick somebody that you didn't mention, and because I actually saw him play, and that's Steve Young. I don't think Steve Young belongs on that list. And then you have people on that list. Now, I believe Bradshaw belongs on the list, and I will tell you why. Because he could actually throw the ball and leadership. If I'm going to pick quarterbacks that on
oh,
a
no
top
doubt.
15 list, I'm going to pick guys who I truly believe had the leadership. Tarkington, I thought, had the leadership.
Right. But on
so
the,
I would leave him on there.
On
Bradshaw,
the same list, on the same list, Marino made the list because of his passing prowess.
That's correct, because
okay.
he could throw the ball like nobody else.
Right.
I understand that.
Terry
but then,
Bradshaw would be the antithesis of
that, although he could throw the ball.
He could throw the
you
ball.
Know, he didn't
but if you
fling
look at
it
his
like,
statistics, yeah. I don't even think he yeah. hit 30,000 passing yards career. Yeah. I mean,
again, though, another part of it is the system. You're going to look at these people and say, because that's where I was going with Steve Young. Montana, I felt, was a much better leader than Steve Young was in the same system. Now, you had Steve Young come in there, and I remember that he finally won a Super Bowl, and he kept talking about how he finally got the monkey off his back. Well, he got the monkey off his back because of the system. He didn't get the monkey off his back because he led that team. He was a good quarterback. But let's remember, he went to the USFL. He was with the Tampa Bay. It'll come to me in a second. But the USFL Tampa Bay team.
Okay.
Okay. That's where he started.
Right.
And then Walsh happened to see him play and say, hey, you know, this kid probably wouldn't be bad as a backup. And he sat behind Montana for years. And very much like Tim Tebow, to tell you the truth, because he was all over the place with his technique, with his, you know. So, to me, I don't know. Steve Young might go off the list. I can see Montana, but maybe not Steve Young. I can see him. Okay, I'll put Tarkington back in if he's got all the statistics, if you're going to go by statistics, plus the fact that he was a leader on the team.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But these are the people I would drop off. Otto Graham, because it's a different generation, you know, and you know, as I said, maybe Steve Young. And I don't know who I said who the other one was, but in any case, my problem is okay. You drop those three off the team, but now where do you stick Breeze?
Okay, well that can be the
is
enough.
It the, your follow
See,
up?
Well, and yeah, so like okay, what I'm gonna do is I'm not gonna take off anybody off the list that I have never seen play. I've never seen Tarkington play. I never really saw Starbuck play. Sorry, I mean. I never really saw Unitas play. I never saw Graham play. I don't think I ever saw a game.
Sawbackwell playing at the same time.
You know that was right before my time of actually you know caring about football.
Was earlier.
So I'm gonna look at some things like
Unitas play.
Montana Unitas, same thing. Okay, so
Graham.
So
who the hell did you see on this list?
Okay,
Brady.
Well, you act like I
the only
like
guy
it.
You ever saw on this list was Brady.
Well, now,
saw
now
Drew Brees.
When you're 28 like me,
28.
So yeah. Okay, so
in dog years,
Brady obviously nice. Brady obviously to me Montana is outside of Drew Brees, and I'm saying that because I'm a homer. Montana's to me the all-time best quarterback. Just watching him and the thing he used to rip our heart out. We'd have him.
Yeah,
know,
I disagree
beat,
with you.
We'd,
go ahead.
We'd beat him to death all game long, and the score would be, you know, 7-6. And and they couldn't even move the ball. And then with a minute, 30 seconds left, we kicked the ball to him with the lead, and he'd go down the field and beat us time and time again. And so, you know, to me, one of the greatest. Now, Peyton Manning, maybe this is me just beating people up, but I know everybody's like, how could you even suggest that? If you take away all of the stuff that the media hypes him up. Now, he has the one Super Bowl, right? Or did – yeah, he just has the one Super Bowl.
The one, no, he's got two. He won with the Colts Manning. And he won one with the Broncos.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the Broncos. Okay, so Peyton Manning. But the hype that he got, it's not even fair.
But he made it to four, you know.
That's correct.
Okay. Let's see.
And really, the Elway. Denver one doesn't count because he had a spaghetti arm at that point.
But, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. As great as his statistics were, there were people until that last Super Bowl win that were talking about him in the same way that you hear some of them talk about Breeze.
Right. It's just he throws for a lot of yards, a lot of statistics. Go, one, two, can't win the big game.
Marino never got any.
Right. But Manning never can win the big game was what his reputation
exactly,
was.
Right.
And the thing about Manning is that year in, year out, it'd be statistics. Winning a division that consisted of the Texans.
Jacksonville.
And who's the other one in that division? They'd walk through the division every year. So, again, I'm not trying to say he's garbage or anything, but what I'm saying is
he's garbage.
Overinflated. Overinflated. And the whole legacy, the Manning thing, they hyped him up. His career was great. Keep in mind, we're talking relative to the best of all time. So I'm not trying to say he's bad. I'm just saying that overhyped in a lot of situations.
Now,
great quarterback.
I want to say the following for all of our listeners. Dave didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings about the Manning family because we know that you're listening.
Oh, I forgot about
and
that.
And you think that the Mannings walk on water. So we're all in agreement with you. Just because we want to keep our listenership
up. Let me go ahead. Now, Favre, okay, Favre again was this so super hyped. He won Super Bowl, lost the second one. Is that how that went down? So,
yeah, I think he only won one.
And then, okay, Rodgers. Now, okay, to me that's low-hanging fruit. Very, yeah, good player. Good. I mean, he's not.
Yeah, but see,
he's not the 10th best all-time quarterback
no,
ever.
Dave, no. Dave, may I suggest the following?
Sure.
We're going around in circles because we don't have any criteria.
Right. That's true.
You know,
that's true.
You have to have criteria. If you're going to say, okay, we want to know who are the top 10 quarterbacks of all time. Well, first of all, that's a problem because you have people you're trying to compare in different eras of football.
Right. Sure.
So if you're going to say, okay, what are the top 10 quarterbacks in the last 20 years? Okay, you might have a better shot in 20 years because it's, you know, pretty relative in the last 20 years. But then you have to say, well, what makes them the best? Is it their leadership quality? Is it the statistics that they have? You know, is it the number of Super Bowl rings that they have? I mean, what's it going to be? Because if you're going to say, if for example, if the Patriots win this game coming up in the Super Bowl next weekend, then Tom Brady will have beaten every other quarterback. He will have 5 Super Bowl rings. So, therefore, does that make him the best of all time because he's got 5 Super Bowl rings? Marino wouldn't be in it at all because he has 0
right.
Super Bowl rings.
As much as it pains me to say it, I think if you take the 5 rings and
the yards
11
and the
or 12 or whatever it is, AFC champ, I don't even know what it is, something ridiculous. I haven't many times they've been an AFC champ.
Just about every
– the record overall, his ranking in the city, because he's got plenty of statistical rankings to go with, you know, yeah, I –
it's
he's
hard
the
to argue.
One guy that's going to have kind of the whole.
Well, that's what
thing,
I'm saying.
You know,
Super if you Bowl have wins, all of the yeah.
bowls,
if yeah. you say
passing yards, touchdowns.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. If you say, okay, we're going to use these 3 criteria for this: leadership, statistics, Super Bowl wins. Okay, if you use just those 3 things, okay, who are your top 10 quarterbacks? See, to me, that makes it much more. I don't want to say fair, but valid. That's the word I'm looking for.
Right.
Makes it much more valid because you have 3 statistics that you can say, these are legitimate statistics. Not, well, I like the guy. He had a great wrist flick.
His leadership was amazing.
Pick 3 things and you say leadership, statistics, Super Bowl wins. If you do that, then what do you have for the top 10? Maybe we can ask our listeners. You know, they can call into our hotline. What's that number again,
Dave? Number, 504-383-3369.
See, I do this for a living.
Bam.
Okay, and so if we have our listeners call in and give us who they think, let's make it easier, their top 5 quarterbacks.
Call to action.
In the last 20 years, make it a shorter time span. Okay, so in the last 20 years from, you know, when did the Bears win? Was that 95?
85.
85?
85,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
The
85 Bears. Man, I'm old. Okay.
Last 30 years.
That'd be 30 years, huh? That'd be too far.
Last 31 years.
Let's go last
20.
Then, yeah. Let's just go 20. You know, let's go 20 years. And the three categories are leadership, statistics, Super Bowl wins. Give us who you think are your top five choices.
All right. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. I think it'd be an interesting conversation.
There you go. What's that number again?
504-383.
Yeah.
3369.
There you go.
The dramatic pause was intentional.
Necessary.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, so listen, we're going to close the show out, but obviously we didn't get to all the things that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to our positional.
Second show, then.
We're going to have a bonus round coverage.
Bonus round. There you go. All right.
Coming Wednesday or Thursday, we're gonna have bonus coverage.
Hey,
so
bonus. All right.
So bonus. All right. Yeah. So anyway, the position this week is going to be defensive backs. We still got to do the picks. Once we realized that after all this talking we did,
we didn't actually get to any of the meat of the show.
Yeah, right. The stuff that we were going to talk about or the picks for the Super Bowl. Right. So that means you guys are lucky. You're getting the bonus coverage this week.
And
we made
an adjustment during the break.
Oh, yeah. An adjustment during the break.
That's right.
So for the all-time greatest quarterback,
yes,
we looked back and we realized that it's going to be from 1990
correct
to current.
Correct.
Okay. So that would kind of we looked at it and kind of feel like that's the current era.
Right.
So you know, whether it is or not, that's we had to draw a line in the sand somewhere.
And only
that's
three
we came
things
up
we're looking at: leadership, statistics, Super Bowl wins. That's
all right.
It.
That's the criteria.
Right.
All right. So anyway, for Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio, this is Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Lucky for you, we'll talk to you Wednesday.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.